Luke 10, verse 21. We're talking about the word, the phrase, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. And the hid is the operative verb. Why did God hide it?
Didn't want the flesh to have any access.
That's right. He couldn't. It's the same reason for that unfinished sentence in Genesis 3. Let's look at that a minute again.
On that?
On what?
On that unfinished sentence?
No. It's ignored. At least what I've seen. Okay, they just give, God had just cursed the snake, da da da. And then he, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And it's unfinished. Even the putting of it on paper was, or in words, was odious. And the idea. I don't know. It's hard to describe what I'm sensing about this, but there's a risk that God took. And that risk, believe it or not, had the possibility of destroying him, in my opinion. And this is totally just me. This isn't doctrine or anything. The first time that we know that Satan was in the garden, and we know that first time that he was in the garden, that pre-Adamic age where we get all the fossils and everything, that's billions of years old. The beings, whatever they were, they weren't like us. They were of a different order. I call it, the only way I know, the age of Lucifer, the pre-Adamic age. But they ate both. We know that they ate of the tree of life. And they were spiritualized instantly. The world was destroyed. But they are locked in space without regard to time. They can't reach into eternity. But man, and the risk that God took in man is that man had the potential to enter eternity, to enter that other dimension. And if he ate both of the tree of good and evil and of the tree of life, then that could have happened, in my opinion. There was a risk, a huge risk that God took. And so that's why this sentence is unfinished.
That really begs the question of just what is the tree of life? What is the substance if we were to partake of it?
Well, it's that which permits eternal life. And it would have been polluted because of the eating of the tree of the good and evil, of the tree that knows good and evil. And so remember the definition of pure or even holy is that There is no, there's nothing mixed with it. If you have, if you've ever studied chemistry, if a chemical substance is pure, then it has absolutely no other element in it, no other trace of anything in it. The slightest micron of another substance in that makes it impure. And that's the whole issue. Man had the possibility of eating of both of the tree of life and of the tree of good and evil, and that would have brought man into the... It's the same thing. I'll put it very bluntly. It's the same doctrine that's taught. Now, the idea that the purpose of Christ's incarnation and his death and suffering and resurrection was so that you could be healthy and wealthy. Well, that is the doctrine of demons, because that is that which permits eating both of the fruit of the tree of good and evil and of the tree of life. It won't happen. They're con men. But that's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, isn't this in fact what happened when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of life?
No, because they didn't eat. They didn't eat of the tree of life. They only ate of the tree of good and evil. That's why, again, the Trinity is such a big deal, and it's so endemic to what we believe, and what I believe anyway, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you make that unholy by adding you in there. You have it Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me. Well, that makes it unholy.
Yeah.
And it's a bad doctrine. It can't happen. That's not going to be allowed to enter into that veil. That's why it said, except you become as this little child, this darling infant, this person before self-awareness, except you be converted and become as that little child, you cannot enter. That's not a moral option. It's a what is. It's like no man cometh to the Father but through him isn't a religion. It's a cosmic spiritual fact, because all men have to go through him in death. That's the way the thing is constructed. That's why all men died at the same instant. Am I communicating at all?
The all men die at the same instant always gives me a little trouble. Other than I understand it as at the resurrection, that's when death was swallowed up in victory.
Yeah, but you have to see it from the standpoint of that if we have this three dimensions. We have time and space. We have space with regard to time. And we have eternity.
Aren't the first two the same? You say time and space as one.
Right, that's one dimension.
Yeah.
And space without regard to time.
Okay.
That's second.
Two.
And the third is eternity.
No time,
no space. And so if you see from eternity's standpoint, by definition, all men have to die at the same instant. And it happens to be that death is the cross.
So there's two definitions of death then, because we see death as our body dying, quitting.
That's the same as God sees it. That's what it means. Don't look at death from time and space. Look at death from eternity's standpoint. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We confess the Lord Jesus. Homo logio. Speak the same thing. See the same thing. Hear the same thing. That's what confess means.
Would not then birth fit in that same sentence?
Yes. All men are birthed at the same time.
Well, you can't really look at it one way without putting all in there. That
Remember what we talked about before, from eternity's standpoint, everything happens at once. We can't even conceive of no time. You can't conceive it until you experience it. Once you experience it, then that's all you want.
Once you experience time?
No, no time. Eternity.
But that doesn't negate time. I mean,
it negates it as having any holiness.
Yeah, but we have to talk in different dimensions. Oh, there's no clarity, there's no understanding of my right word.
All right.
What about this other sentence that has the colon and 3:2? There's an unfinished sentence.
In 3 what?
3:2 in Genesis.
Well, in 3:2, it's a continuing sentence.
Yeah, that's just the conditions. The colon is then the next few sentences are the condition. This colon here, there's nothing that follows it. The sentence isn't finished.
So in 3:2, the 3:3 starts the finish of 3:2.
Right.
Yeah.
You got it?
I'll have to read it to get it more, but I understand what you just said.
All right. So anyway, so then this is why this is hid from the wise and the prudent. It's hid from those that are judging for themselves good and evil.
Of which we are because of Adamic.
Right. That's why we have to ignore this thing in order to be apprehended by him. You can't apprehend him or this by using the mind. It's only apprehended, you're apprehended by it at your depending on the depth of your repentance.
Other than that, we're sons of Satan.
That's what he says. We're children of the devil.
We're
children of the devil because of what happened endemically in our mind.
Right.
Not because of sex.
That was Satan's whole purpose. He wanted to be just like God, so do we. And that's why we want control. And
that's why that's why Jesus said he saw him fall from heaven.
Yeah.
So are you getting an idea of just in general why it had to be hid from the wise and the prudent and revealed among the babes?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, wise is just the word sophos, where we get the word sophistry and sophomore. But sophos just means the wisdom of the world. And it can be, you know, it's that he's hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Prudent is synetos, that's synetos. And synetos, Pete once said it kind of neat. Synetos is one and one is two. Synetos means, the word means the following of a logical form or that kind of thing.
Yeah, the prudent is one who is considering the wisdom and responding self.
Well, the point of it is your mind cannot, your mind can't do anything except sophos and synetos. That's what it does.
Yeah.
But it does it by sorcery. You do it by, you create universes by language in your mind. You create agendas by language. What you're doing is you're creating another God.
Yeah, you create your own scenario.
Right.
And then you control the elements.
Right, and that's why you've invented yourself. Or the evil one has invented you, through you, by you. Now nobody believes this really. You know, it's fun to talk about, but does anybody really believe that you have no independent self, that you've invented yourself?
Not that hard, actually.
That that all your value systems and all your rights and wrongs and all your ideas and all your positions and all your stands, you just invented them. Or you borrowed them from somebody else.
Yeah, I know. They were passed down. We just absorb what we liked and forgot the rest.
But even that was of God, because that had to happen so that you would be your form, if you will. That you remember the image, the word image is selim, which means a container. Even all the crap that happened, even your genetic history back since the beginning of time, was for this time. God has wrought all our works in us so that this mystery of the bride would fit in us, even though it had been, the form had been dug by the evil one. I hope you understand this. Otherwise, you can't understand your death. You'll be think you're right about something. The moment you think you're right about something, it all goes away. It just disappears as a vapor of smoke, or as a dream, even. You're doing something, Mr. Buckner.
Yeah, I'm sure am. This whole, it's like the Eastern religion people call this, I think, the Maya or the delusion that we walk in and have constructs that we create and all that.
And we think they're real. But they'll quickly reinvent it.
So they're working on it now, I suppose. They'll get a picture here of something.
But this is why we are named Trinity.
Or what? Trinity?
Or it's named Trinity Foundation. Because of what happened to me when I saw that hydrogen bomb dissolve an entire island. They didn't destroy it, it dissolved it. Vaporized, that's as if it never existed. All those 16 ships that were around it were vaporized, as if they never existed. And that's what happened to me in my conversion. Everything that I thought was good and right and blah, 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 everything was boom. I quickly tried to rebuild it, but that didn't work. Because I knew, the reason I couldn't rebuild it is because I knew the stupidity of rebuilding. Because I'd have done it already. Now that emptiness that bomb created, the hydrogen bomb, there's no power like it on Earth.
And that was just the beginning of that experiment, right? I mean, it's developed into different branches, neutron bombs,
No, those aren't. No. Those are fairy tales right now. But the point of it is, and the name of the test that I was at was Poplar. And so to the Poplar Foundation, the tree wouldn't make any sense. But the name of the first atomic bomb ever was named Trinity. And that's why we were named. That's why I named us Trinity Foundation. Because I intuited that a Bible study should be like that bomb going off inside you. It vaporizes anything that doesn't stand the test of truth. And the test of truth, and Abraham was the, you know, you got to hear this. There's billions of people have lived for thousands of years. But Abraham is the first man that defined truth. that which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. That's the only thing that's worthy of giving any importance to. Truth. That which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. If anything you're giving importance to changes with time, place, or circumstance, then you're a fool. You're still locked in this, your imaginary world. Can you see the idiocy then of things that we give importance to? Fashion. Some people don't give, you know, obviously, you quickly see through that. But then you start seeing through all the other things that we give importance to. Politics. Sports. It's because I was reading your mail. But that's what the preaching of the cross does.
Yeah.
It dissolves you. So that the only thing left is that which doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance. To me, that's the only reason for living. Everything else is just somebody's imagination.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing this for blah, blah, blah. Well, you could make up a million reasons why you're doing something. They may have stood the test of maybe 1,000 years. But that's not, you haven't expanded your tent pegs long far enough. You expand your tent pegs to the edge of time and space itself and then see if what you think is important exists. It can't stand the test. That's why Jesus, his mothers and brothers came to him and said, we want to see Jesus. And somebody went and told Jesus, that's not my family. This is my family. Then for the first time in 1,500 years, he ate the Passover with his disciples. That redefined a family forever. Can you imagine what that did in Jerusalem? For 1,500 years, the family had been the most important thing other than the temple and the Torah. And in one act, he redefined everything. And everybody wants to defend their family values. Well, how's that worked out for you? They're disasters. Do you see why he hid these things from the wise and the prudent? And if you still, if your value systems are still on earth, then he's hid it from you. It's not because he doesn't want you to know. It's because he can't let you know. He can't let you see. We didn't get to wise and prudent in the world system, but I think we got to something else.
Yeah.
That was kind of a rant, but that's all right.
A productive rant.
So what's your what are you seeing, Mr. Buckner?
It's more clarifications than self, other than self.
as a vessel.
As, yeah, part of the tool of testing. Because without the testing, the faith is invaluable. So, best heed the purpose of the test to go with it. Be tested.
Amen.
Don't resist.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 and then we'll pray. This is sort of a summary of everything you just said. Then they're no longer called mother, father, sister, brother, wife, or children.
Yeah,
they're called brothers in Christ or sisters.
Yeah, right. So, but the distinction between family and disciples
it's huge.
Yeah, it's everything.
Well, and that's, and again, this is billboarding, but this is what we're going to talk about Sunday. So you've got to remember in the first century, there was no communications. So God defined this, the reason that we're set up as satyrs and then meeting in bigger groups, and is that's the brethren out of the same womb. Now there may be other brethren that are way over there, but there's things about going to your brother, and if you have aught against him, that's about the one in the same womb.
Yeah.
That's where you need, there needs to be, for the sake of the body, there needs to be a transaction. Otherwise, one of you is outside. Now, for the sake of God, the one that supersedes all of that is, there must be forgiveness of everything without a transaction. Then, forgiveness between the brethren is possible. But if you go into forgiveness thinking you need a transaction in order to forgive, then it'll be, first of all, it'll be a very unfruitful meeting.
Yeah, we've had a few of those.
So anyway, that's a 2-second summary.
It made me think of the purpose of cholesterol. It's like,
yeah,
that's what stops the blood flow. It's that little shit that builds up in your veins.
Yeah,
which is the flow of life.
Above all things, my brethren, prophesy. That's another example of what the blood flow without impediment. All right. See you.
A couple good points this morning, though.
Oh, I appreciate your.
What scripture did you read in Corinthians?
We didn't.
No. Okay, so.
We'll have to do. Remind me, that's the first thing we'll do. When we meet again, if God so doesn't destroy us or take us home.
Yeah.
Take a big guy.